Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Friday afternoon. It's feeling very summery here in Southern California. I hope it's feeling nice and summery where you are. Well, it's a very summery week at the 4th of July and all that. But before we start, I got to tell you a little bit. Well, first of all, I'll let you know who's on the program today, and you can dial if you'd like to call in. Second hour, Michael Lofton will be here, and we're going to talk about heresy. What is heresy? But we'll also talk about some of the associated words, because a lot of, you know, now that there's Twitter and all the other things, people accuse each other of heresy, apostasy, dissent, and there's a whole collection of words there. We're going to dig into second hour and then let you ask questions. You can call up and ask. Is my bishop a heretic? He said the following. And then please name your bishop and we'll, let's not do it that way, but we'll talk about those things. This first hour, we're going to talk with someone who we're just happy to welcome to the show, Father Michael Rainier, and we're going to talk about common courtesy. It's actually quite an important thing for a Christian person and for any person to consider common courtesy, particularly now that we have Twitter and all the things. So give a call, 888-318-7884. But I have to give an important official report that Edgar is married. Our call screener, who's also our podcast producer, Edgar. We were all of us that are here in this booth right now, we were all at the wedding last night. It was, and lots of Catholic Answers folks were there, lots of other folks there. It was a beautiful wedding, and it had, because of the bride, it had Gaelic elements. Because of the groom, it had Mexican elements, some of which I had to read about later because I did not know there was a lasso involved in a Mexican wedding. Did you know that, Darren? Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen the lasso before? The 13 coins? I didn't know about that. I loved that they put the bouquet at the feet of the Virgin, and it was beautiful. I thought it was a beautiful wedding. Did you think it was a beautiful wedding?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I did notice that you and your wife, Rena, refused to sit with Missy, my wife, and I. I don't know what that was about, but whatever.
Nothing personal, man.
Because I've never seen you, Darren, look so dapper. You looked as sharp as you have ever looked. You were dressed to the nines for
that
wedding.
Thank you.
Yeah, you looked really good. But we had a really, really good time. So please pray for Edgar and Lena. Thomas will be screening the calls. And then when they get back, we'll ask them, we'll have them in the studio and ask them about how married life is going and what that lasso was about and all of that. I've never been to a wedding with a lasso and a bagpiper. That was the first time. Quite a combination. 888-318-7884, the number. Father Michael Rainier is our guest. He's a graduate of Yale Divinity School, and he lives in St. Louis, Missouri with his wife and five children. That's because he's an ordained Catholic priest through the pastoral provision for former Episcopal clergymen. That provision was created by Pope St. John Paul II. He's also a contributing editor at Dappled Things, a wonderful journal dedicated to the written and visual expressions. And he's the author of a new book, The Forgotten Language, How Recovering the Poetics of the Mass Will Change Our Lives. But he's here to talk to us about an article he wrote. He has a column in Alatea at alatea.com, the Catholic website. And he wrote a beautiful one on common courtesy. So let me try a little bit of courtesy. Father Michael Rainier, welcome.
Thank you, Cy. Thanks for having me.
One of the things that you point out in this piece is one of the reasons maybe people aren't as polite, we're failing at common courtesy, is that it's not very efficient and we've become kind of obsessed with efficiency.
Right. Courtesy takes time. And I think we've all convinced ourselves that we are running out of time. And so we don't have the time for these things, right? So you see how the smartphone and email and these things really speed up our communications. So I'll get these texts from my mom. Hopefully she's not listening. I'll get texts from my mom. And my mom will just text me and says, you know, I need you to be here tomorrow at 3:00. And yeah. That's what the text will say, right? And you read that and you think, oh, yeah. she could have said please and thank you. But I know my mom. I love my mom. I know my mom loves me. So it's simply a shorthand communication. But if it's someone that I don't know as well, please and thank you goes a long way. Right? Taking the time to spell out some of these common sort of introductory phrases asking how people are doing. I think it's worth the time. And in fact, I would argue that we don't have the time to not be courteous, because these are our lives. And we're here to know each other and to love each other and to spend time with each other. And so if we're just rushing around trying to accomplish things, we're really missing the point.
888-318-7884. You connect this also with our Christianity, however, that there's a connection between common courtesy and our the general vocation to charity as a Christian.
Right. So courtesy, and I'll admit right now, I'm very introverted. I'm the Platonic form of the melancholic temperament. So I really don't like small talk. I despise it to the core of my being.
Sorry for all that talk about the wedding there at the beginning. I apologize for all that.
Yeah. Well, I was explaining before we came on the air that I'm in and out pretty quick at the weddings, because that's exactly what I struggle with as an introverted person, is working a room and all the little things. And it's not that they're not really beautiful things, celebrating a marriage and all the customs and traditions. But for me, it's always hard. So I don't really like to talk about how the sports team is doing. Mm-hmm. Or how the weather was today, or one of my little pet peeves. And I know people are just being nice, so I don't get mad, but they'll say, I hope this email finds you well. They're just being nice. And I always want to write back, they always find me well. I'm always good. But what I've learned over the years is that it's not a good thing that I struggle with those common courtesies, and they really have a role in our lives. They might seem frivolous or unnecessary, but really what they're doing is they are allowing us, especially if we don't know each other very well, through small talk to kind of feel each other out in a safe way and just wait to see what connection we can make. And then we can move into something more fruitful in terms of discussion and making a fruitful, strong connection. But we can't just get there without the common courtesy and putting in the work together. And so what common courtesy really functions as is really a simple and almost unstated way of saying, look, I'm glad that you exist. I acknowledge that you have value as a person, and I want to get to know you. And I'm glad I'm sharing this earth with you. And if I can show that in just a little way by asking you if you're doing well, or holding the door open for you, you know, as we're walking into the store, then I'm happy to do that. And I need to be happy to do that.
It's increasingly difficult to do it, though, because when courtesies aren't shared, they become kind of, I don't know, I guess it becomes disheartening to continue to be courteous in a world where the habit of courtesy is often missing.
Right. And this gets, I think, to like a very distilled sort of message from our Lord, which is, look, well, just be nice to people, even if they're not nice to you. That's actually where the virtue lies. So it's very easy for me to be nice if I like you, and to take time out of my day to assist you or do a favor for you if I like you, because you've been nice to me, or I have some hope that in the future you'll return the favor to me. But the real virtue of courtesy is when we can be courteous to people who either we don't like, or they've made clear they don't like us, or we simply don't know them, and there's really no chance for them to reciprocate. So I think that's why it's a very small thing, but it is a very Christian action.
Again, we're talking about common courtesy with Father Michael Rainier. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. It does seem to me that it gets harder. I noticed, like, for even simple things like the grocery store checkout line, which is a brilliant modern invention. I mean, how did we survive thousands of years on this planet without the grocery store checkout line? But often the courtesy is strained because the person at the front of the line is having trouble getting their card to work, or they've decided to write a check and they've got to balance the checkbook so what ends up happening is in modern society, It's a society of lines. It's a society in which if you're not efficient up at the front, if you're chatting, the two of you, and enjoying these courtesies, you're holding me up.
Oh, I see. I see. So you're arguing it's impossible to be courteous to all the customers in the store in that
well,
scenario, right?
It becomes kind of I'll tell you what it becomes like for me. If I'm in a terrible hurry and the checkout person is being courteous to the other and they're having a how's your day and it's perfectly normal, I have to remind myself to be a human being about this and not be a fanatic for efficiency, or else I'll get annoyed at people who are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right. Yeah. So with this particular virtue, as with so many virtues, we're fighting, I think, the way that our society is trying to form and shape us, and to be really blunt about it, dehumanize us.
Right. Right. Yes.
Right. So everything in the way that our daily lives unfolds tends to be very dehumanizing. We're waiting in lines. We're getting stuff done. We're checking stuff off our checklist. We're being productive. We're making money. We're doing everything fast. And that's really not healthy. But because it's all around us, it becomes normalized. And we think that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be like. And so I think that what we need to do is take a step back, be reflective about it, and ask ourselves, what is the point, right? Like, what am I doing today? Is it just to get through the checkout line as fast as possible? Or is it to maybe make someone's day a little nicer? I won't do this because I'm introverted. I'm terrified of things like this, but I have these extroverted friends and I'll walk with them maybe down Main Street or when shopping malls existed. I'm old enough to remember when
Remember those days?
Yeah, right. Days? It was brilliant. You go and you'd walk around and you look at people and I'd have these extroverted friends and they would just see strangers and say, hey, that's a nice shirt. And the person would just smile, and you could tell, like, my friend had just said one thing in passing, mm-hmm. and it had made that person's day. And I think it's like such low hanging fruit just to be kind to people and to be courteous that I don't know why we're so bad at it. You know.
Well, I want to talk a little bit when we come back about that dehumanizing aspect, because mm-hmm. this is one way of maintaining your humanity and other people's humanity. And I love that you use that word of the dehumanizing qualities of modern life. But let's talk about that when we come back. We have to take a quick break. Our guest is Father Michael Rainier. We're talking about common courtesy and your life as a Christian and as a human being. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Wonderful article. I really enjoyed it in Alatea by our guest, Father Michael Rainier, about common courtesy, about the importance of common courtesy, and pointing out some of the reasons why we may be losing uh, the the courtesies that we once had, and also why we might even become convinced that some of them are useless and pointless and worthless. But we're deceiving ourselves when we say that they're anything but useless or pointless. If you'd like to talk about common courtesy, 888-318-7884. I promise to be courteous to you. Before I go back to the phones and chatting with Father Rainier, I want to let you know there's 4 days left in our flash sale. We wanted to kind of, and I don't know where we are, but I know we're getting nearer and nearer to being full for our big pilgrimage to Rome. So it's $300 off every ticket, whether you get the air included or not. Lots of people are going for the land only, I think because the flights are very cheap right now. And so you can go for the land only or the one that includes, that doesn't matter, $300 off until the 11th of this month. And then we're going to try to close the books on this. We're only taking 50 people going to Rome. I'm going, Joe Heschmeyer is going, Chris Check is going. It's the flannel panel pilgrimage to Rome. We'll do the show at least once from Rome, a recorded version to play later, because it'll be the middle of the night if we try to do it live. But we're going to stay downtown in the historic center of Rome. I say downtown. Chris makes fun of me when I say downtown Rome. But we're going to visit all the most magnificent Catholic sites, probably at least a dozen, maybe 20, that you normally won't visit on a pilgrimage, even a very well-run Catholic pilgrimage. So if you want to come with us, go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. It's $300 off each ticket until the 11th of this month, and then I think we will be done. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. As I said, our guest is Father Michael Rainier. We're talking about common courtesy, and this is part of what you used the word dehumanizing before, Father, and this is one of the things that I really liked about your article in Alatea, and that's a regular column for you, right?
Right. Every Sunday I have one.
Every Sunday you put a column out. All right. Sunday is a big day for you then.
It is. Yeah.
So the idea that the more efficient you, in some ways you say in the article, and I think you actually have this sentence, the more efficient we become, the less we accomplish. But that depends on what it is we think we're trying to accomplish in this life.
Right. So one of my personal goals is to accomplish far less and to not be very efficient. Because when I was younger, I was obsessed with acquiring intellectual knowledge. And I was very, very efficient. I prided myself on, okay, I'm going to take 21 credit hours, then I'm going to audit, I'm going to read books, I'm going to be very efficient, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to accomplish it. And I was in the midst of this is probably not the time to unpack all this, but in a crisis of faith and trying to work my way through it. But the mistake I was making was to think that through productivity and through efficiency and through the acquiring of certain goods that I valued very highly, that I could find my vocation and rediscover, I think, something of, as I said earlier, I'm melancholic, so I put everything in these grandiose terms, right? Welcome to my existential crisis here. I was trying to, you know, find like the purpose of my humanity, right? What am I here on this earth to do or to be? And so often we think, well, it's to accomplish a certain thing. I'll get this academic degree and then I'll be happy. I will get this job and make this amount of money and then I'll be happy. I will acquire these things. I'll get myself a wife and a good house and then I'll be happy. But that's really the wrong way of looking at our lives, because we're really here to simply be and to exist and to flourish as human beings and to know God and to know each other. And part of that, one little part of it, maybe at a very superficial level, but still very important, is this idea of courtesy, that we have the time to slow down and appreciate this journey through life that we're taking together, because we don't have to accomplish all these things that we have convinced ourselves that we have to accomplish, because in the end, they're meaningless and they don't make us any more happy. And so it's okay to slow down and quote unquote, accomplish less.
This is one of the wonderful things I think about your thinking on this. This, to me, is the heart of the matter, that the more we are convinced that that efficiency is the highest value, the more we are being talked out of our own humanity. And then we're losing our lives, we're gaining everything but losing our souls. I mean, that would just exactly as Christ said it. We're the soul requires these courtesies, these patiences, these salutations that we share with one another in order to thrive, and we deprive ourselves of them at the cost of our souls.
Right. Yeah, I think it's very important. It even kind of affects the way that we participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, right? If we start to think, well, the courtesies, these extra things, they're dispensable. We are here for a specific accomplishment. I want to be fed with a certain, I'm waiting to hear that certain thing that Father's going to say in the homily that will change my life and help me. Or I'm waiting for that song, hopefully, to be sung that I love, that gets an emotional reaction inside.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here because I want this grace, and I want to take it and acquire it, right? And I want it to be mine. And so we start to think of the Mass as something that we want to get through it efficiently. And you even hear Catholics talk about it that way. They'll say, well, look, it's valid. The Eucharist is valid. You might not like the songs, or you might not like that we've gotten rid of incense and chant and whatever, that the priest used the shortest prayer and he raced through it a little bit. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's valid, so it's fine. Well, in my opinion, it's not fine at all, right? Because we've dropped that courtesy, if you will, towards God. We are refusing to spend time with him because we think that some of those extras are unnecessary. So on Sunday, when I say a Mass, the main principal Mass at Sunday at my parish, Epiphany of Our Lord, where I'm the pastor right now in St. Louis, I chant it. I sing it all. It takes a little bit longer. I use Eucharistic Prayer 1. It's a little bit longer. We use incense. That adds a little bit to it. It's not that the Mass gets super long. Someone did tell me it was 1 hour and 5 minutes once, and that was too long. And I didn't have the heart to tell her about the Easter Vigil, but
or about Mass in the entire continent of Africa, where
right,
it's
right.
Longer. Like, get over it, American.
That's it. Yeah. So we have the time to slow down and pray with some of these extras. They are important. So it's important at prayer, and it's important when we are simply spending time with each other.
We got a bunch of calls for you, Father. Shall we take some calls?
Sure, as long as the questions aren't hard.
Let me read ahead. I'll eliminate all the hard questions.
Yeah, pre-screen them for me.
Father Michael Rainier, our guest. Nuala starts us off in Battle Creek, Michigan, listening on 89.7 FM. Nuala, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Rainier.
Okay, hi, Father. It isn't actually a question. It's more of a comment. I didn't think this way when I was in my 30s and not even in my 40s, but now I'm almost 63, so I have changed my thinking, and it has improved. In the Bible, Jesus tells us a couple of things: love God above everything else. I'm paraphrasing. It's not the exact phrasing. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And then one more big one: love others as I have loved you.
Amen.
And these are really, you know, important things. And I, you know, think about how would Jesus act in various situations, because that's part of the answer to love others as I have loved you, Jesus saying that. And that's how I view common courtesy, is an opportunity to show someone else a piece or a sliver of the pie of Christ's love. And I might not show them the whole thing. They might not have a lot of contact with me, but every once in a while there's a person that over time I have had, you know, been able to talk more spiritually with them about things. But that's how I view things, and it's pretty easy when you look at it like that.
Father.
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful way of phrasing it. Right, so our Lord says, if you give one of these little ones a glass of water, you've given it to me. And so when we have those little interactions, yeah, you can make connections sometimes that become something more, but sometimes they're very fleeting. But the real point there is that you have loved Christ. It's not even necessarily about that person, but it's about the fact you're loving Christ in them, and then also you're allowing Christ within you to be love as well. So you're allowing him to love through you. And so I think that's a really beautiful thing. Thanks for sharing.
Nuala, thank you very, very much. We'll be right back with more. I want to continue that point that Nuala made, though. What a wonderful point about manners as being the way, or courtesies as being the way that we love as Christ loved. 888-318-7884, the number, right back after this. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I guess I just wanted to follow up what Nuala said. Her point was wonderfully made, Father Michael Rainier, our guest. We're talking about common courtesy. But I wonder, is it possible to be a disciple of Christ and to live the way Christ called us to live and to not be a person of courtesy?
I think that would be a real struggle. Right, because we're called to love, right? We all think, oh, we love each other, right? Well, that's easy to say in the abstract. It's very easy to love humanity. I think I'm ripping this off from G.K. Chesterton and quoting him very badly, but I think he said something along these lines.
He ripped it off from somebody else. Don't worry about
it. That's right. It's fine. Yeah, it's easy to
Cardinal
love
Cardinal Newman.
So it's easy to love humanity. It's difficult to love this man, right? This
yes.
person in front of me.
Yeah.
And that's what courtesy is that virtue of acknowledging this specific person that God has placed in my path at this moment, even if it's just a passing interaction.
Lots of calls for you, Father. I'm going to keep going back to the phones.
Sure.
Nick's in Pennsylvania listening on Holy Name Radio. Nick, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Father Michael Rainier.
Oh, thank you for taking the question. Courtesy is a subject near and dear to my heart, and I wondered if some settings lend themselves to courtesy more than others. I work in the Capitol, so it's a slightly more relaxed, less cutthroat pace than private industry. It seems to me that people are more likely to say hello in the hallway. Would that be true of your own experience?
Oh, in terms of it being easier in some context to be courteous, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're in a, and this goes back to that idea of, is our society or is our culture supporting us, or is it more like a headwind that we're moving into? Certainly for me personally, yeah, it's if everyone around me is being nice, it's easier for me to be nice, right? And so that might be one of these little gifts that we can give to the world as Catholic Christians, is to be stubbornly courteous, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in. And then you never know how someone else will react or what ice that might break.
What do you think, Nick?
Oh, yes. I mean, besides my paycheck and benefits, some of the people I've been blessed to get to know over the years are part of the wonderful things where I work.
Yeah, that's so, that.
Well, thank you for your time and thank you for your show.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
But that's the thing is, I mean, I suppose the relentless pursuit of money is going to mitigate against courtesy. It's going to mitigate against all kinds of things. But the relentless pursuit of money is a mistake. I think that's pretty clear that that's what the Lord is teaching us. That, yeah, that's not going to work, and you're not going to get what you want doing that.
Right. It almost turns, I would think, if you're in one of these big corporations and you're on this team of people, and then you're all trying to get ahead, right? Doesn't that then turn your coworkers almost into your enemies?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to overcome them and get ahead and make them look bad and make you look good. So why in the world would you be courteous unless you're playing some angle?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And there is the stereotype of the Christian as creepy courteous, because underneath there's this kind of judgmental hostility. But that, I think, is a stereotype for, it's a very cynical stereotype meant to make people feel uncomfortable with courtesy, I think. You know, the movie stereotype of the sweet Christian who's really gross and judgy underneath.
Right. That's never been my experience. I mean, my own temptation, and maybe I think a more common issue with Catholics or Christians in courtesy, is that it becomes a little bit salesman-like. So we're being courteous because we really desperately want you to come to church with us, right?
Oh.
And so,
yeah.
Right, the motivation's very good. It's very pure, but it may be a little bit off track, right? I think courtesy is just simply practiced for its own sake, because we're happy that that person's there.
I wonder, because I don't see this as a divide between the old and the young. Like I don't have the feeling, and I don't think this is what you're saying, Father, that, oh, young people today, they're so, because there's lovely young people and there's old people who clearly just never got the memo that what human life is supposed to be about. But I do think that there's a society-wide, whether it's the old or the young or the in-between, loss, which has something to do with us interacting with machines more than we do with people. And it seems to me this was part of your essay as well, that the interactions with machines, they undermine our habits, our courteous habits.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty obvious that smartphones and email and those sorts of things have really destroyed our ability to have genuine face-to-face interactions.
I'm one of those people who I'm so slow to think of the implications of the gospel. I mean, I'm ashamed of it sometimes, but I mean, I had a degree in theology before it occurred to me, consciously occurred to me one day, that the gospel still applied while I was driving a car. I had to have the conscious realization, like, oh, the gospel's still active. It's not like you get in a car and there's a different gospel that you live by. I think I also had to have a similar realization one day speaking with a customer service person who was frustrating and annoying on the phone, realizing I'm not dealing with a phone. That's the medium. I'm dealing with a person, and I don't get excused from the gospel just because they're far away.
Yeah, absolutely. You can even hear it in the language we use. We'll say, oh, a car had an accident.
Yeah.
A person in a car got into an accident, right? There's a person in the car.
Yeah.
There's a person at the other end of that email that you fired off when you were frustrated, right?
Right.
And so it's always incredibly helpful to take a step back and realize we are all human beings navigating this world, and the technology doesn't change that.
Yeah, but it does change our perception of it.
Right. So if we're struggling with that perception, my recommendation, this is what I had to do for me, so I'm preaching to myself, is just use it less. Right. So It's funny you brought up the example of the car. I just try not to drive anymore. And I know that sounds extreme. If I have to go to a place, sure, I get in my car and go. But for my regular little commutes and things, I literally just get on my bicycle and commute. And because I find that I'm so much happier. Or with my phone, I just don't really have conversations via text on my phone. So you can text me, sure, and I might respond if you need something. But if we want to talk and simply just have a nice conversation, I want to have a cup of coffee with you and take the time with you because I want to see your interactions and respond to what you're saying. And the texting and the technology gets in the way of it. And as you said, it shifts our perceptions. And so all the courtesies dissipate, and then all the authentic, more deeply held interactions also dissipate because they never have a chance to become established.
Father Michael Rainier, our guest, we're talking about common courtesy. There's a lot of folks on the phone, so I'm going to just keep going back to the phones, Father. I'm going to go to Texas. Michael's in Texas listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Michael, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Michael Rainier.
Hi, Father. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I want you to know this isn't from Texas. This is from the Midwest because I lived in Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. So I grew up with common courtesy. And there happened to be a lady today at Costco that looked like she might need some help putting this big old bag into her trunk. And so I asked her if she would like some help, and sure enough, she did. And then something else I do on a regular basis is when I go by people, I say, how are you? And they say, fine. And if they say, how are you? I'll say, I'm blessed. I hope you are. And that really has gotten me several big thank yous for saying that because they needed it at that time. So anyway, that's what I do. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great, Michael. Can I ask, did the woman at Costco, did her demeanor change, or did you have any follow-up after you helped her?
Oh, sure. A big smile came on her face, and I asked her if she has help at home, and she said, yeah, she does. And so she was very happy, and she took care of my dog while I was putting the bag into her car, into her trunk.
That's so beautiful, Michael. There's humanity in a moment that could have been missed.
Yes. And that, yes, I do that quite frequently if I see someone that looks like they need help.
Yeah.
If they're at the checkout and they got a lot of groceries and they're elderly, I'll ask if they need help out in the car and you know, do what I'm supposed to be doing. So.
If I may, Michael, I just want to ask about the subtext of something you said. Were you implying at the beginning of your call that they have better manners in the Midwest than Texas?
I'm going to take the fifth.
Well, because I come from Southern California, and the people from Texas seem like they have the best manners in the world.
I'll answer for Michael. The answer is yes.
They do. All right. So we must be awful here in California then. We must be the worst. All right, Michael, thanks. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more conversation about common courtesy with Father Michael Rainier right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit,
we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I'm a convert, and I was received into the church when I was a junior in college. Recently, I've sort of had a reconversion where I've come back into the faith, I think, stronger than I've ever had it. When I heard this radio program today, it took me back to that moment, and it was so powerful for me that it really led me to where I am today.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. How nice our previous caller was, Michael. But I do have to say this, Father Rainier. Catholic Answers Live is supported by donors, and the biggest donor state we have of all 50 states in the United States is Texas. So I have to defend Texas. Texas gets 100% of my support. So
right.
I don't know what the experience of Midwesterners is in Texas. But as far as I'm concerned, it's the greatest of all 50 states because it's currently paying my salary.
Texas is the best.
Thank you, Father, for joining in. I appreciate that. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're talking about common courtesy. Our guest is Father Michael Rainier. And Father is a Catholic priest, former Anglican, Episcopal clergyman. Is there a difference? Should I say Episcopal, not Anglican?
It's way too long to explain the difference.
Oh, but there is.
There is a difference. I went to an Episcopalian seminary, and then I was an Anglican priest. They're related, but not quite the same.
I gotcha. But now a priest of the Catholic Church, as well as the father of five children and a husband. And he's the author of a new book called The Forgotten Language, How Recovering the Poetics of the Mass Will Change Our Lives. It's from Ignatius Press, right?
It's from Sophia.
Sophia. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I don't know why I'm sorry. It's a very fine press, Sophia.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
888-318-7884. Father also writes for Alatea, where he wrote a beautiful piece on common courtesy and our humanity and our Christianity. And if you'd like to talk about common courtesy, give us a call, 888-318-7884. And if you're from Texas, you go to the top of the line. Colin in Des Moines, Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio, where they are actually nice in Iowa. They have this thing called Iowa Nice. And then you go there, and they are freakishly nice. Colin, I'm so glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Father. Oh, hang on. I'm having trouble with my phones. Go ahead, Colin.
Good evening, Mr. Keller. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
All right. I really like this conversation and this topic. There's a guy named Neil Postman in the 70s and 80s who talked a lot about how technology influences our behavior. And so my question kind of is related to his obsession with, like, print versus screens. Why do you think courtesy flourished in a print world but does not flourish in a screen-based world? You know, like, people would, like, sit on the train and read the newspaper like they sit on the train and scroll their phones. So the behaviors are kind of the same, but the outcomes are very different. So I was wondering if you could talk about that, and I'm going to hang up and listen now.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts on this. I've actually written, I think, a few essays over at Dappled Things magazine on the difference between the printed word and the word on the screen. And psychologically, what happens is the internet, when we read and we take in and consume content on the internet, it literally rewires our brains, particularly because of the hyperlinks. So the internet trains us to skip around. So a lot of people will talk about how they fall into, like, a rabbit hole on YouTube or through Wikipedia, and they start clicking on links and going and going and going. And before they know it, they've wasted 2 hours. But they haven't really deeply engaged with whatever the topic is. They've just kind of flitted along the surface out of curiosity. Whereas the printed word rewards sustained attention and concentration. And then when you add in smartphones and social media and the scrolling, especially the infinite scrolling feature, and you'll watch people, and I call it doom scrolling, and they sit there and you just see their finger and they're moving. They're not ever really stopping to engage any of the content, but they can't seem to halt the process of seeing, well, if I scroll down one more time, maybe something great will appear that will intrigue me. It's almost like you're playing the slots. You're being trained psychologically, like at the slot machines at the casino. I'll just do one more pull and maybe I'll get rewarded. And I think that that probably filters into our ability to focus in personal conversations as well. So I had noticed with myself, I would be talking to someone and even just 5 minutes and my hand would start to shake almost. I'd want to pull my phone out and just see. Right? Did someone text me or did a new email hit my inbox? And someone would be talking to me. It was so rude. And that's when I realized I have to disconnect drastically from this technology because it's destroying my ability to interact with human beings. And the printed word doesn't do that. The printed word actually opens up your imagination. And it's very easy then to move from the printed word into an authentic, real life discussion.
Colin, thank you so much for the question. It's something we really do have to think deeply about. And Father, thank you for your comments because everybody knows we're losing our attention span. Well, courtesy, humanity requires an attention span. You have to be able to attend to the other person. Right. Everybody knows we're less patient than we had been previously. We're more depressed than we were because of these machines. It seems to me like that Thomas Aquinas, at least my understanding of Aquinas, is, you know, if you've got a vice, one of the ways to defeat a vice is just work on the opposite virtue. And maybe instead of focusing so much on putting down the machines, we should focus on every day, am I spending time listening to an actual physical person? Am I interacting with them? Am I trying to enjoy the interaction and make it enjoyable for them? Right. You know, if I can do those things, I'll build up the muscles and become better at it. I want to stop chatting though, because there's a lot of people who want to talk to you about this. I'm so glad that there are people who want to talk about this. Joey in Gregory, Michigan. I think it's Gregory, Michigan, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Joey, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your comment or question for Father.
Thank you. I'm a Catholic guy that wears his, you know, that wears his Catholicism on his sleeve. I got 7 children, but I've been in car sales for about 14 years, and the communication that we have with the guys is super comical. But everybody's like jumping over one another to get a customer. Everybody's in competition with one another. I get 70% of the people of my sales because all these guys, you know, 80% of the time have got their heads down, just going through Instagram on their phone, or I can't stand the stuff. So it's benefiting me in a way, but I can see where the communication's real good with the customers. I have a great time with them, but it seems like the more that we do, the more competitive that we are, because you're only good as your next sale or the next call that you take. And it's to me, not, it's discourteous, right? We're discourteous to each other because we're trying to provide for our families because we want to get to the next one. But then when stuff slows down, we communicate well, but I don't know. I think it's because of the job that I'm in, that when I come home, it's like the quarters almost flipped. Because we all pray as a family. We say the rosary together. We haven't missed church on Sunday ever, sometimes going during the week. And I feel like I'm in this kind of a conundrum with that, but I don't know. And that's it.
Thank you. Father, what do you say?
Yeah, that's really difficult, right? Because we have to, at some point, go over the threshold of our home. And it sounds like, Joey, you built a really beautiful home and a domestic life for your family, and they'll benefit from that. But at some point, you have to step over the threshold and go into the world. And you, unfortunately, we have to to make some money because we have to keep that home and to feed our children. And that takes us to places sometimes where we're in very stressful work environments, and it's very difficult to be courteous. I remember I used to be a waiter. I waited tables at IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, and that's what I did in college. And it was lower stakes, but of course the waiters are all stressed out and fighting over tables as well, because every table represents extra money that we can earn. And so there would be these times when we would treat each other really in inappropriate ways, right? And I think it was the stress of it that we were allowing to get to us. And when I look back on it, I think, I can't believe I acted in some of those ways. I should have been courteous, even when it disadvantaged me in that scenario. And I know that's a very difficult thing to say. And if you're a father of seven and you're talking about selling a car, I know that's a big deal. That could be a big chunk of salary for a week, not just losing out on a tip from one single table at a restaurant. But I think that's something that we have to think long and hard about in our own context. How can I be courteous, and how can I be proud of how I behaved that day when I get home and know that I behaved with integrity and courteous?
I just wanted to add that many Catholics are employers as well. And in that case, we have to think about, you could have a market-based efficiency that pits your employees against one another, but are you really being a Christ-like employer if you do that?
Right, right. Yeah, we have to think about these things at a very deep structural level, because we're trying to live a Christian life. Not simply be Christians for an hour at night when we're home with our family, or for that hour when we're at Mass, but we're trying to redeem, and this is our Lord's goal, is to redeem all of creation, which means every aspect of life, how we interact with each other at our jobs and when we're out and about and so on. And so if we're in a position to influence that for the better, I think that's our responsibility.
Father Michael Rainier is our guest, and he has a new book out about the Mass, and you should check it out. It's called The Forgotten Language: How Recovering the Poetics of the Mass Will Change Our Lives. We're talking to him today, however, about common courtesy, and I'm just delighted by the conversation, because there is a way in which people will tell me about capitalism, about the free markets and all that, and I'm not a great economist or anything like that, but they'll say about all of its achievements. But some of its achievements do come at a cost, and the fact that what if you could create a perfectly efficient market, or even a very highly efficient market, would that necessarily be a good society for people to inhabit? Well, when you hear what someone like Joey just said, or others who have called today, or we talk about the line even at the grocery store, the line to get your Diet Coke at McDonald's, where you're actually constantly in competition with all those around you, is that a society that is good, or is that just a society that's efficient, Father?
Yeah, that's really hard to untangle. Exactly what are the costs and the benefits of the particular economic system where we find ourselves in, the particular social system, political system. And so we have to use our prudence and be really thoughtful about it, because it's so easy just to go with the flow and just assume, okay, this is what we do. This is what's normal. This is what's good by default. And yeah, there might be a lot of good to it, but maybe it could be even a little bit better. Right. If we as Catholics live as Catholics in the midst of whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Alatea is the website if you'd like to look up Father Michael Rainier's work published each Sunday. Father, I'm so grateful that you agreed to come on. I hope you'll come on again. And would you mind giving us and our listeners your blessing before you go?
I'd be happy to. Dominus vobiscum.
Ecum spiritu tuo.
There you go. Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen. Hey, give me a little warning if we're going to do it in Latin, will you? I mean, I'm a very low-class guy.
Very discourteous.
Father Michael Rainier, our guest. Coming up, we're going to talk about what is heresy, what is schism, what's apostasy, what's dissent, all these words that we throw at each other on the internet. Michael Lofton will be here to help us do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.